It is 10:35 on December 2nd, 2020, and the December meeting of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians is called to order. Roll call. Dale Nyblade, present. Suzanne Coleman.
Present.
Sherry Mays.
Present.
Eileen Pettit.
Pettit, present.
Terry Brown.
Present.
Michael Searle.
Present.
And Deb Bright said she would not make the call today. Others present, we have our Executive Director, Megan Darien, as well as our Assistant Attorney General, Scott Donald. Declaration of conflicts of interest. Okay, I hear none. Review, discussion, and approval of minutes from November's telephonic meeting.
This is Sherry Mays, and I would like to approve the Arizona State Boards of Dispensing Opticians telephonic meetings of November 4th, 2020.
And this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as written for the November meeting. Any discussion? We'll roll call board members. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
It's been moved and unanimously approved to accept the minutes from the November meeting. Move on to number four, the agency operations report, director's report.
455 Arizona licensed opticians have completed their renewal for 2020 so far. The third notice was sent via email on December 1st to the ones that they have not.
Yeah, that's over half, so we're getting there. We're close to half.
Yes, exactly half. And also, Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians performance audit and sunset review by the Office of Arizona Auditor General has been completed, and the audit report has been published with seven recommendations that majority of them are already implemented, and the board will update its strategic plan to include a review of the rest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job with that.
Thank you.
I know it was a lot of work. Okay, let's move on to number five. Possible violations, Elevated Smoke Shop 5A. We have gotten a response from them saying that they do not and have not for some time carried contact. So entertain a motion for Elevated.
Are we dismissing it?
They've responded that they have responded to the letter with an email and saying that they are have not sold and are not selling. That's the Elevated Smoke Shop.
Is this something that needs a follow-up visit to make sure that
all the ones that we dismissed are on the list for follow-ups.
Okay.
They don't go off that list.
Okay, well then, this is Sherry Mays, and I will make a motion to dismiss Elevated Smoke Shop, section number 5A.
And this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss with future follow-ups the possible violation by Elevated Smoke Shop. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, we'll do a roll call. It's been moved and seconded to dismiss and leave it for further follow-up. All those in favor? Oh, wait a minute. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown.
Aye.
And Michael Searle.
Aye.
Been unanimously approved to dismiss the possible violation at this time with future follow-up. Move on to five. Let's start with 5B, Paradise Valley Smoke Shop. I would like, Scott, if we could have the Attorney General take this on. We have been to that place twice and continues to sell contacts against Arizona state law. So I think we've done our due diligence. They've not responded to the board. In fact, after the second visit, the investigator actually purchased contact lenses from them. So I think we're at the point now where it's needs to be gone into the more legal aspect as opposed to us responding to them.
Well, Dale, where we would need to go early then would be if the board believes that there is, you know, based on the investigator's report and board member Pettit's review, if the board believes right. that there is then cause to move forward, the board could vote to have this case proceed to a hearing for violation of board statute. So if the board would like to proceed, yeah. we just need to be a motion and a second.
Okay, Sherry, did you get that?
We're escalating it to, what did you say?
Hearing for violation.
To a hearing. A violation. Right. Do I have to list the exact rules or statute?
Yes, you would need to state what you believe potential violations are and what you think they did to the potential violations.
Are you talking about the statute
violations? I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that.
Well, I can't hear you. You're cutting in and out.
Scott, do we include the Arizona statutes as the violations that we're discussing?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the board would need to look at the board statutes and determine what you believe, what acts you believe constitute violations and what you believe they constitute violations of.
Yeah, Sherry, on Jim's review of this, he's got in there the statutes are 32-1696 uh-huh. and 32-1697.
Okay. All right. So this is Sherry Mays, and I would like to make a motion to escalate Paradise Valley Smoke Shop and Cigars to a hearing for violation of 32-1696 and 32-1697.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to elevate Paradise Valley Smoke Shop violation to a hearing. Any discussion? Roll call. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
And Terry Brown?
Aye.
Michael Searle?
Aye.
It's been unanimously approved to move this to a hearing. Obviously, that will also put this on the agenda for January's meeting. Move on to 5C. And this is one that we've had our investigator go there twice. Owner claiming he doesn't sell contacts, did not understand that it requires a thing, and we asked for him to acknowledge that. He's refusing. So I guess we need to move on to a future follow-up to that one. And I would check with Scott, is it all right if I'm the one that does the follow-up, since we've had run-ins with this particular owner with our investigator, and our executive director. So I am volunteering to do the next follow-up and just as a representative of the state board and see if he's complied or what he refuses to send me, even send an email saying he doesn't do it and does it with some very, very interesting comments and language.
Mr. Chair, if I may ask, what would constitute follow-up?
I would go visit and see if he's selling contacts and do the same thing that Jim does. Ask if he sells contacts.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Certainly, if you would like to perform that investigative function, the one thing I would caution you, Chair, would be that if you perform the investigative function, then you would need to recuse in the future from consideration of the case because you would become a witness. At that point, so you would then become a witness in the investigation rather than being able to vote on it.
I'm hesitant to send our investigator back since he's been accused of harassing him only because he follows up on his calls. And that would be
would
our normal recourse.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Would it be possible for us to appoint another party to do the follow-up investigation?
I don't know if we have anybody else that has a ID as being an investigator for the state, for the board. And the issue is because of the first visit, they said that they do sell them, but they just happened to be out. And then everything after that's been escalated as harassment. They've been saying we're harassing them. And that's why I'm hesitant. Maybe this is one we push off and go back to where we got the original. I think the original one said that. I'm getting lost on this. Jim, did you get your first lead on this from somebody, or was it just a visit, or where did the?
I got a lead on
10/13.
I had gotten a lead. Someone on Facebook told me they were selling them at that store, and so
okay,
I went
so
there.
We got it through social media. Okay.
Yes.
So that's how we started it. So I think at this point, I mean, we need to do a follow up. It's just a question is. Do we give him time to cool off since he's claiming he doesn't sell, but he won't respond to the board? And he called the Arizona Board of Optometry to ask about Jim. Of course, they don't know Jim because it's the wrong board. And then they called. Then after that, he called Megan.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Ultimately, while I understand that the owner of the shop may be getting frustrated with the process. From a legal standpoint, legally, ultimately, the board has an investigator. And if the owner believes the investigator is harassing him, the owner can certainly speak to an ombudsman or something like that. But our investigator is certainly able to perform a follow-up. If the owner is going to refuse to let the investigator perform the follow-up, the board does have options for attempting to make the owner comply with the investigation, including potentially subpoena powers and things like that. So legally speaking, I wouldn't necessarily get too hung up on the owner of the shop being frustrated. It may be best to simply let the investigation process proceed as usual. And if the owner has an issue with the investigator, legally they could bring it to the ombudsman, or they could present that at the hearing. They believe that there's been harassment. Our investigator, I believe, would be taking notes of the investigation and of his visits to the shop. So he would certainly be able to establish that what he's done has been in the normal course of his investigation. So
Jim, I've got a question. I don't want to put you in the spot, but you did tell him it was going to be reviewed on December 2nd board meeting. Would you be willing to at least go back and say we are still waiting for a response?
Absolutely. I'll go back and I'll record the conversation when I go back.
I don't know if we can do that. Can we, Scott?
I advise him.
Yes, the conversation can be recorded, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to drop it because we started it, and it all started because we were told that they were selling, and he has not responded to the board at all. And so I do think we need to continue to follow up on it. I appreciate your direction there, Scott, because I think it's the right way to do it and still not negate what we normally would do as a board anyway. Just keep pushing forward. Hopefully he'll respond, but if he doesn't, then we can move. Yeah.
I have a question too, is something that I think would be good for Jim and for something in this arsenal is that if we actually come up with a legal consent agreement where it would state that the owner understands and will comply with these two statutes. Number one, it would give Jim more credibility because I think this man, I got kind of the idea that at first he thought that maybe this was a scam or something. He didn't believe that we were, he was from the state board.
Yeah. One of the things, Eileen, is we got to be careful because that's not really under our purview of the board to create legal documents, is my understanding, right, Scott? That's not for us to do.
Well,
our job is to do our normal investigation and follow-ups.
Well, yes. However, absolutely, the board could offer a consent agreement to the owner of the shop. There'd have to be a basis for the consent agreement. There'd have to be some, there's an allegation that has come in from presumably a member of the public that this business is selling contact lenses. A consent agreement could be predicated upon findings of fact that is in fact selling them. The thing is,
he's not an establishment under our laws, right, or under our rules right now. But is that something you could draft for Jim to have to take with him when he goes back?
Well,
that you and Megan could get together? If the board agrees, that's what.
Well, I would have to take a look at it at the case with that specific goal in mind. The options available to the board may be to enter. The thing is, he would have to be willing to admit to a past violation, whereas otherwise, what we're looking at, what we would not be able to do, the board could not have him enter a consent agreement saying, I'm not ever going to violate statutes. It would have to be, I board statutes, and I will not, and any violation of board statutes will then be a violation of this consent agreement. But I need to double check.
We do have the initial investigation where the employee who identified himself as a manager says they do sell him. He was currently out.
Right. So absolutely, a consent agreement could be done up for this, but the board would have to have a basis for a belief that he's violated the board statute. Now, that may be certainly based upon the information that was provided.
Right.
But he wouldn't have...
To err on the side of caution at this time, would it be make more sense for us to have Jim do a third visit? And if he still gets the same kind of response, then maybe move it to the next level?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may, if my understanding is that, and I believe I'm thinking of the right case here, but my understanding is that the board investigator spoke to a manager there who confirmed that they were selling the lens, but that they were out of it. Okay, so we do have
that was in October.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
That was the visit in October that he admitted that.
So essentially, the board does have a basis for a consent agreement if they would like to offer one. It would be a consent agreement for violation through selling them in the past, and that basis would be the investigator's conversation with an employee of the business. The board would need to then determine what to do with the consent agreement. Would they want to make an offer, and what if any penalty would there be, or would it simply be a consent agreement for a finding that, you know, the guy violated in the past, and then what would the resolution of the consent agreement be? What if any penalties were assigned?
Because the follow up on this is it's the same person that said he sells them and he is currently out is the one that has been saying he's being harassed because we keep following up on it. It's the same guy. It's the same manager. And the owner is the one that apparently saying they don't sell, but we haven't got anything in a response other than phone calls.
So why don't we do a hearing?
Well, yeah. And the board could certainly forward this to a hearing. What the board would want to do, the other option, there are two options, three options available to the board really at this point. And the one would be to essentially doing some kind of a consent agreement. The second option would be to send the board investigator out for another follow-up. The third option, if the board believes there is a reasonable basis for a finding of potential violation of board statutes, the board could, following the board's disciplinary investigation procedure, the board could appoint a board member to act as liaison. That board member would review all the information, talk to the investigator, and then make a recommendation at the next board meeting, as board Pettis did for this meeting. And that recommendation would be based on discussing with the investigator and reviewing the materials, whether the board member believes that there is a sufficient basis to move forward to a hearing for a potential violation of board statutes. If the board, after reviewing that, believes that there is a basis, the board can forward the matter for a formal hearing. That would be the third option.
One of the issues with this one, as opposed to the previous one that we've already moved on to the hearing, is other than a verbal acknowledgement that they sell them, but they were out, we have not got any concrete evidence that they have contact lenses there. Our investigator did not find them. And so I'm a little hesitant to move that to the hearing because we don't have the same scenario that we did with our previous complaint. And so I think we need to see, and if they still don't have any contacts when we're there, then it's just a matter of, like you say, maybe the consent agreement, him acknowledging what the Arizona statute is, and then just move forward. Because I hesitate going to a hearing on just the verbal admission that he sells them, but he was out. But then on the follow-up, we've not, I don't think Jim's found any there. And that's the issue, I think, is other than the complaint we got on Facebook, we have not found it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jerry Mays. I agree.
Yes,
I think it's a little too early to move to a hearing, and I still think that we do need to do more follow-up. Is there a board member who would be willing to go out and do that second follow-up other than Dale?
I think whoever goes out there has to go out there with something more than just their person and them telling them that they're violating. There would have to be some kind of a letter or something.
The letter that we issue when we find them in violation, I think, is what we would have to go out there with. there is a form letter that dictates the statute. I believe you have that, right, Megan?
And why would we not do that return receipt? Because then that's a, I mean, when they open up the legal doc, once they open up the letter, it's a legal document because the post office delivered it, correct?
But we haven't got anything that we have concrete that he is actually selling. We only have the one thing on Facebook.
And right, then the but can't we just make it a letter stating that so he can state that, yes, he's aware of these statutes? We don't have to say he violated it. We need a letter saying...
But unless we send that letter to every smoke shop in the state, I think he could have a case for saying we are trying to harass his establishment. I'm just a little concerned about...
Not if we set it up that this is what we do for every investigation, then we wouldn't be... targeting him.
As a follow-up to 10/13 and 11, whatever the other date was, then this is our next step.
Yep.
Is that what you're saying now? Is the follow-up to the visit on 10/13, the follow-up visit on 11/4, this is our next step. Yeah. Does that sound reasonable there, Scott? That would take it in and kind of take an individual person away from being involved in this. And do it as just representation from the board. This would be our follow-up following our meeting on December 2nd. And this is what we would like is have you sign and send this back. Does that make sense?
But that, so the board would be sending essentially just an acknowledgement of board statutes? I'm not quite sure I understand.
Yeah, Megan has a form letter that she would deliver to people that had their contact lenses that states the statutes and describes the understanding that contact lenses in the state of Arizona can only be dispensed with a prescription from an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. And, you know, it just states what the requirement is. And she sends that out to people that she finds on her investigations. And at this point, we've got our two visits, and this could be our follow-up from today's board meeting, is sending this to him to say, this is letting you know the statute that was brought to our attention that you had been in violation of, that your manager, Kelly, admitted that he did sell them. And this is what we would like you to acknowledge, is that you understand the rules and the statutes,
I would be comfortable legally with the board sending that letter to them. I do not believe the board would be able to require any signature for it or any acknowledgement, because without any finding, without any adjudication of any actual violation, the board would simply be sending out almost a consumer notification type of a thing. So it would be kind of a friendly, here's the Arizona statute.
But they should have to sign for the letter. So we have documentation that they received it, because they can know if it's brought up in the hearing, all they have to say is, well, I never received that.
Well, but at the same time, whether or not they receive it wouldn't be the issue in any hearing, because whether or not they're aware of violating the statute is completely immaterial to a finding of their violation. So from a legal standpoint, it wouldn't matter to me at all whether or not they actually could, or whether we received a letter like this. The only question would be whether or not they had sold contact lenses. If they had,
right.
I don't care if you do it.
Our investigator's documentation shows that they are at least aware of the statutes. He's informed them.
Yeah.
And that's been done in person. So that justifies that they do know that we are discussing this.
Yeah. Now,
so I think that would be our next step, Scott. I guess Does that need to be a motion? That's just our normal investigative follow-up.
I think a third visit is in order here, honestly. This is Suzanne Coleman.
Okay. Legally, I think probably with where the board is with things at this point, it would be if the board, as Suzanne just said, you know, she thinks that another visit would be in order. Legally, I think it would probably be good to have it in the form of a motion so that there is direction at this point because of the complexity of the discussion at this point.
Okay. Sherry, that would be a motion to have Jim do a third follow-up with Habits Smoke Shop.
Yep. Okay, so this is Sherry Mays, and I would like to make a motion for our investigator to do another follow-up with Habits Smoke Shop.
And this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we do another follow-up on Habits Smoke Shop. Jim has volunteered to do it. And any further discussion? Okay, let's go through the process. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
And Michael Cyril?
Aye.
It's been moved and unanimously passed that we do a third follow-up with Habits, and also we will move this into next month's agenda as well. Let's move on to number 6, applications for licensure.
This is Sherry Mays, and I make a motion to approve 6A, applications for licensure, for Mary Catherine Dismaris, Monica Christine Coronado.
This is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the applications for licensed opticians for the two applicants. This is Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Michael Cyril?
Aye.
Those are two more licensed opticians for the state of Arizona. Welcome, congratulations. Moving on to 6B, application for establishment license.
This is Sherry Mays, and I'll make a motion to accept 6B applications, two applications for establishment license, Pearl Vision Eastmark in Mesa and Primera Enterprise LLC in Phoenix.
And this is Suzanne Coleman, and I would second that motion.
Been moved and seconded to accept these applications for establishment license. Any discussion? Move on to roll call vote. Dale Nyblade, aye. Suzanne Coleman?
Aye.
Sherry Mays?
Aye.
Eileen Pettit?
Aye.
Terry Brown?
Aye.
Michael Thiel?
Aye.
It's been unanimously approved for those establishment licenses to be accepted. Future meeting dates, you've all got a schedule there for 2021. Future agenda items, we do move those two items, 5B and 5C, into the January 6th meeting. Any other future agenda items? Okay, call to the public. Jim.
You mean I can talk? The only reason why I'm on and the only reason why I do this is to make sure if there are any questions and to just give a general update. My general update for the board is that we are offering the exam as long as the state licensing boards allow it via a virtual. Now, so that everybody understands what that means, it does not mean a free-for-all. Almost all of the country has gone to some form of virtual exam, including for attorneys for bar exams due to COVID. So we're trying to allow this as an accommodation. The security is extreme. People have been complaining about the fact that because they had a cat in the room, the artificial intelligence seize the cat and literally shut down the whole exam. They had to remove the cat and go through security again. They have to show us the room every time they go, come back in. They have to lift their sleeves, show us the platform on which they're doing it, everything in between. We get reports real time on any issues. We have one security issue. That security issue, and you may think it's funny, but it's not. It's other than the cat. We had a situation where somebody passed the exam, got the notice that they passed the exam, but didn't disconnect from it. They wanted to take a picture of the notification congratulating them for passing the exam, so they went out of the room, got their phone, came in. And we actually started a disciplinary action procedure against that person. We did not invalidate their scores because there was no security related to our exam. At that point, they were disconnected from the actual questions, but they were still connected to the proctor. So we put it into their file, into their profile, that they had had a warning and a potential breach, and they had to go through and show the proctor. They deleted it off their phone. They were told by the proctor at the time that they had been reported as a violation of our security. I followed up with a notification to them that they needed to be careful the next time because they've been warned now. So that's the type of thing that we're doing. We continue to upgrade our exams every single administration, and our exam is now offered 365 every single day. We still call it four testing periods because we actually rotate our tests so that people can't take the same exam twice. So right now we are in the what's called the November window. We are changing the names of our testing windows to January, April, July, and October. They all run for 3 months. They kill off at the time that the next one starts. Everything is done registering online now. So if you hear of any issues, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, feel free to let us know. I'm just here to listen in. I try to come to every meeting I can. And I'm also here to answer questions or to have anybody yell at me if they think that there's something going on that shouldn't be going on, or anything else. So thank you for the time and the ability to listen in.
Hey, Jim, thank you for that, because I think that clarifies a couple of questions we did have. And I appreciate you guys being proactive with that.
Yes, our security... I just want to say our security that we do have for our exams is listed on our website, and people have to go through. They can only have certain kinds of computers. They have to have the camera. If they don't meet the criteria, they aren't allowed to sit for the exam. There's a real person watching them, and there's the artificial intelligence watching them, looking for anything like a hidden camera, anything in the background. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt whoever that was.
No, this is Sherry, Jim. I just wanted to say that I wanted to concur. I sat for my advanced NCLE, and I did it remote, and I felt that it was extremely well surveillanced, and I just wanted to say that. So for the board members, if anybody has any questions, I felt like it was just like I was there. And then I also wanted to go ahead.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt, but this is agendized under call to the public. So the board actually can't discuss any of this. This is something he can make a statement under general call to the public. But if it's a matter that interests the board could then decide to put it on the next board for an actual discussion. Otherwise,
that's okay. The board, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Did you want to put that on as the next month's agenda? Since he'll be with us anyway?
I already said what I wanted to say.
Again, Jim, we do appreciate you taking the time to keep us updated on what's happening in your side of the world over there. So thank you again. Any other public members that want to say anything?
I'd just like to wish you all a great, safe, happy holiday season and see you all in January.
I think that's everything we've got, folks. It's 11:15 a.m. on the 2nd of December, and this meeting is adjourned. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you. Yes, happy thank holidays. You. Good to talk to you guys. Bye.
Happy holidays, everyone.